thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Thank God for such a beautiful Easter Sunday where we can come together and we can celebrate the risen Lord, where we can join with our church family and friends. And folks, if this is your first time in with us this evening, you're so, so welcome. We just pray that you would feel relaxed and at home. If you've come to cheer on some family member or friend, just you cheer away, because that's what it's all about. We just love what these young people are going to do tonight. We love them. And we honour them, and we're going to cheer them on tonight when they go through the waters of baptism. I promise you I'll not speak terribly long, because the main focus tonight is really on the baptismal service. And so, folks, once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there lived a great man who was king over all the earth. He lived in a beautiful castle with awesome manicured lawns and exotic trees. He had hundreds of devoted servants, and he wore the finest of clothes. He ate the richest of foods. He drank the best of wine every single day of his life. And everyone loved him, and everyone respected him. And he lived a very long and a very, very happy life. And then he died a very peaceful and a pain-free death. Absolutely everyone mourned his passing with great sadness, and the government held a national day of mourning because he was so loved by all the people. That sounds really beautiful, doesn't it? It's nice, it's lovely, it's warm, it's fluffy. But it's only a fairy tale in a make-believe world. Life is never that good. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there lived a very humble man who was a servant of everybody. And even though he was the creator of all things and the majestic king of heaven, he stepped down from heaven into our sin-soaked world, and he lived in a lowly dwelling in an obscure village, and he wore just ordinary clothes, and he ate just ordinary food, and he worked just an ordinary job. This 5'8 guy wasn't popular with everyone. Yes, he was loved by some, but he was misunderstood by many, and he was hated by others. And some of these haters loathed him so much that they actually wanted him dead. And even though he wouldn't harm a fly, so eventually one day, and him only in his 30s, he was falsely arrested on trumped up charges and badly beaten up. He was spat upon and he was whipped to within an inch of his life with a cat of nine tails, the most severe form of punishment known to man in that day. And he was laughed at, he was sneered at, he was jeered at, he was tutted at, and the butt of everyone's jokes. And finally they nailed his beautiful feet and his beautiful hands to a cruel cross of shame. He died a slow, agonizing, and humiliating death. This king of all heaven, this king of all the earth, and this king of all under the earth was pinned to a cross, and he slowly bled to death. This is no fairy tale. This is a true historical fact. His life and his death couldn't have been more different to that of a soapy fairy tale story for Jesus, our precious Lord and Savior. This was reality. The Bible says this of him: Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him that name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and that every tongue would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so, for us tonight, as followers of Jesus, this is our servant King. This is our beautiful Savior. And today is really special for us for two reasons. It's Easter and we love it. And it's our baptismal service. You see, Easter is the highlight of the Christian calendar. It's the very pinnacle of our faith, and we love to celebrate. We unashamedly celebrate Easter because we celebrate Jesus. Yesterday was what you would call Black Saturday. You could call it Easter Eve. Why did Jesus have to die? I ask you the question. So looking back to that actual day, that Black Saturday, the regrets and the fear and the unknown and the nagging doubts and the unanswered questions, the pain and the guilt of denial and betrayal were immense. This was exactly how the disciples who were friends of Jesus felt the day after Jesus was crucified and the day before he rose from the dead. It was their Sabbath, supposedly a day of rest, but the disciples' minds were in turmoil. Their hearts were literally broken. It was Black Saturday, a really dark, dreary, dismal, and desperately depressing day for their Lord, their leader, their teacher, their friend, their constant companion for the previous 3 years was dead, brutally killed by the Romans, sanctioned by the Jewish hierarchy, seemingly abandoned by God. It simply couldn't be any worse. But what they didn't know, of course, was what was coming next. They couldn't imagine and they couldn't foresee Easter Sunday. They worried and they waited and their hearts waxed cold. They cowered in a dark room with the doors and the windows bolted tight. Fear literally gripped their hearts. They hardly spoke a word to each other. They could barely look at each other, for the shame of betrayal was overwhelming and the pain of loss was almost unbearable. However, God had a plan. God had a master plan. He always does, and he always will. A plan forged from before the foundation of the world. It was a plan of salvation, and this was all part of it. The disciples would, within literally 24 hours or less, they would see once again their precious Lord and Savior. They would hear his tender voice. They would listen to his words of reassurance. They would know the joy of his presence as well as the power of his forgiveness, and they would worship him. Good Friday was horrific. Black Saturday was horrendous. But Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, was a day filled to the brim with hope on hope on hope. For this Jesus is alive. And this is no fairy tale. This is fact, absolute truth, 100% reality. This great King lives forever. This great King forgives. This great King restores. This great King gives us a second chance. And all you have to do is open up your heart to him and ask him to forgive you and ask him to help you and lead you and guide you. And he will in a blink of an eye, in an instant he will. The greatest turnaround in history, and we were talking about and singing about history a wee moment ago, took place on the cross. You see, what looked like an utter defeat, God turned around into the greatest victory of all time. So I don't know what your greatest ever victory was, or your greatest ever achievement, or your greatest ever turnaround. But it doesn't compare to the turnaround from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. This utter defeat became an absolute triumph. I know a lot of you are into football, and this is a famous quote from one of the most successful Premiership team managers of all time. Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive. I'm sure you've heard that said before. Arsene Wenger. Yeah, it's out of context. He was talking specifically about the Premiership that year. But what an awesome truth. You see, Easter is decisive. Everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And these six young people tonight have decided that there is no turning back. They have decided that they have nailed and will nail their colours to the mast. Their T-shirts will prove it, and you'll see that shortly. It is the greatest turnaround in their lives. They are making a public declaration of a very personal decision to follow Jesus and to never ever turn back. And we are so, so proud of them. So friends, how about you tonight as I wrap this up? How do you stand with Jesus? Do you know him? Or do you just know of him? Do you just know of this Jesus that we've been talking about and singing about? Yes, he is king, but is he king of your life and is he king of your situation? Is he king of your heart? And if he's not, why not? And if not, why not tonight? If you let him into your life, it will be the greatest turnaround in the history of your life. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you tonight just for everything that you mean to us. We thank you for the Easter story. We thank you, Lord, for that phenomenal turnaround from Good Friday, which was horrendous, through Black Saturday, which was just unbearable, to Easter Sunday, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we thank you that you're alive. We thank you that you've saved us, that you love us, that you care for us, that you've got a plan for our lives, a master plan for each and every one of our lives. And Lord, we want to thank you for that.
My name is Connie and I'm 15. I was brought up in a Christian home with my mum, dad, older brother and sister. I've gone to Elim all my life and was sent to Click, Sunday School and DB, which I'm so thankful for. For me, getting saved wasn't a magnificent moment because for years I couldn't actually remember it. It was something I constantly thought about but just couldn't pick it out. I was constantly praying about it, but I continued to feel a sense of guilt around it. It wasn't until this past summer when we were at Wondrous that God showed me the moment from when I was 9 in Sunday school, whenever I asked him into my heart. I've actually always wanted to get baptised from a very young age when I would run up here and take off my socks and shoes trying to go for a swim while Dad filled up the tank. But in actual fact, the night that God showed me when I got saved was the same night I felt called to get baptised, and it was all I could think about. For the past 8 months, my faith has never been so on fire for God, and the fact that I have so much passion for him at 15, I can't wait to see what he has in store for me in just a couple of years. So tonight I'm getting baptised to make a public confession of my love for Jesus.
My name's Corey. I was fostered into a Christian home at 17 months. I am the youngest of 7 children. One of my favourite verses is Matthew 28, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I met Jesus when I was in Sunday school, but gave my life to him at Unite when we sang "Give Me Jesus." He has helped me and in my troubles and problems, and I want God to keep helping me through my troubles and problems while he guides me when I get older. Tonight I'm getting baptized to make a public confession of my love for Jesus.
Hi, my name's Kirsty and I'm 15. When I was 3, I went into foster care and I've been fostered by Beerus and William for 11 and a half years. I'm very thankful for them and so glad I grew up in a Christian house. I have known about Jesus from a very young age. I always knew he was there, but I didn't give my life to him or do anything about it until I was at Relentless last summer. On Sunday, the 6th of August, 2023, I decided I needed Jesus and I couldn't live without him. Once I made that decision, I just felt his presence more than I ever have before, and it was the best feeling ever. I just felt so happy, and I knew it was the best decision I'll ever make. Ever since I decided to follow Jesus, I felt so much happier. He has given me so many amazing Christian friends who I am so grateful for. I just hope God will keep moving in my life and that more of my friends and family will come to know him. So tonight I'm getting baptized to make a public confession of my love for Jesus.
My name's Ollie and I'm 13. Throughout my childhood, I did go to church, although my parents weren't Christian at the time. My nana and papa would take me to Sunday school. I was young and I didn't see it as a religious activity. I saw it more as a fun activity that I would go to on Sundays. As I grew older, I was no longer able to go to Sunday school and I had to attend the normal Sunday service. I would usually bring books to entertain myself during the service, but as I entered secondary school, things changed and I became more self-aware. I noticed that nobody else would read books during the service and they would just sit, listen and sing. And I wanted to be normal like everyone else, so I did. And this helped me. When I started listening to other people's testimonies, it intrigued me how God had helped them through dark or tough times. I was inspired and I slowly got more interested in church. That's when one night I was invited to this church's youth. This is when everything changed. I attended the youth and heard about its summer madness. It was an event that the youth and some of my school friends were going to, and it sounded great. That summer, I went to summer madness, and it was a massive aid in my path to Jesus Christ, because for the first time in my life, I felt Jesus and I broke down in front of him. That same summer, a couple of weeks later, there was another event called Relentless. After experiencing summer madness, I decided to go, and that's where I met our new youth leader, JT. He's a great role model who I've looked up to and is playing a major role in my journey. And again, every night in the hall, I felt Jesus, and I heard more testimonies which again inspired me. I was saved at Relentless, and that completely changed my view on everything. Since then, I've been told by friends and family that my personality has changed a lot. I have also got more involved in church activities such as youth, BB and Bible study. One thing I would love Jesus to do in my life is to guide and keep me on a good path towards him. In conclusion, tonight I'm getting baptized to make a public confession of my love to Jesus.
My name is Abigail and I'm 17. I was born into a Christian family and I've been going to Balwyn Elim all my life. The day I met Jesus, whenever I was 5, my family went to Yvonne's house party and I went to a kids' club and they were talking about where you go whenever you die. And the preacher said there were two places where you could go and that would be heaven or hell. And it gave me the fear of going to hell. And that made me scared. And it made me think about where I was going to go whenever I died. The moment I got saved, I felt like a new creation and I felt like a peace in my heart. Whenever my mum passed away, God put people in my path to help me through the rough times. There were quite a few people that God put in my path and all the friends that I met in my life all had a purpose for me to have met them and I'm so thankful for them all. I would like God to fill me with the Holy Spirit and witness people in my class getting saved. Tonight I'm getting baptized to make a public confession of my love for Jesus.
My name's Joseph and I'm 12. I was born into a Christian family and went to Sunday school and church when I was younger and I'm now in our youth. It has helped me a lot because it has brought me closer to God. When I was younger, I'd been asking my ma a lot of questions about God and heaven, and I knew that I needed to go and ask Jesus into my heart. So one morning before we left school, I went into my mum's room and said to her, "I want to get saved right now." She prayed with me, and I got saved on Monday, 29th of the 1st, 2016, when I was 5 and a half. Knowing Jesus has made my life better and he has done so much for me. I have a great Christian friend and Jesus also got me free stuff. One thing I'd like Jesus to do in my life would be that I'd always follow him and never let him down. So tonight I'm getting baptized to make a public demonstration of my love for Jesus. And you're alive.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.